Blog Talk Radio.
There's a song I sing, and it's my single on the radio right now, and it's featuring my father, Pastor John P. Key, and it's called One More Time. Can I sing a little bit of it? Let's do it.
Woo!
Can I get a little bit right here, please? Listen. Lord, you hear me when I call your name. Nothing's too hard. You can do anything. I try so hard to put my trust in you, but my faith is depending on me. Lord, I need you to do one more. Hey, Lord, I need you, yeah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Do it one more time. Oh, because Lord, I realize I know I can't make it without you. I can't do it on my own. I tried and I tried, but Lord, I know I can't make it without you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Crack up just a little bit more. Can I sing a second verse? Listen. Ooh, that's one thing that I know is true. And that's when everything else fell, Lord. I can count on you. With tears in my eyes, down on my knees. Could you do what you did before, Lord? I'm asking you, believe. Anybody needed this morning? Can you just wave your hand? Say yes, he will.
Yes, he will. Say yes, he will. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Good evening and welcome to Out of a Pure Heart Ministries, an evening with Jesus in the Word. Yes, an evening with Jesus in the Word. We had to change our name because I am now working on the day shift, so I had to switch my broadcast to the evening, but it's the same Jesus, it's the same Word. Hallelujah, glory to God. And hello, dear Patriot Greg. Yes, I am finding the Lord. Things are looking up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Resting more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Glory to God. Before we start this broadcast, we just want to go ahead and pray and invite the Holy Spirit to come in and have his way. Glory to God. But I do realize that this is not my broadcast, but I want the Holy Spirit to come in and let this be his broadcast so that souls may be saved, so that people may be delivered, so people may be healed and people can come out of bondage, because a lot of people are in bondage. And if you read the caption to the program, that we want to talk about people coming out of bondage, but we want to invite the Holy Spirit in, because we cannot do this of ourselves. We can't do nothing without the Holy Spirit. So I want to pray and invite the Holy Spirit in. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for another day. Thank you and praise you, Father God, that you have given us your Holy Spirit. You have given us your Holy Spirit to teach us and lead us and guide us and direct us and help us. You said you would send us another comforter, another helper. And I thank you for your helper, the Holy Spirit, on today to come in and teach this broadcast and do what you want to do in the name of Jesus. Father God, for it is not my will but your will that I declare and decree tonight that will be done on this broadcast in the name of Jesus. Father God, I ask you to go throughout the airwaves tonight, oh God. And Father, I say, Lord, in your name, in the name of Jesus, that we rebuke the prince of the power of the air tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, I said, everybody that you have set forth tonight to be set free, that they will be set free in the name of Jesus. Every person that you have determined tonight that will be healed tonight in the name of Jesus. Every person who you have determined is going to be delivered and loose from their bonds, Lord God, will be delivered and loose from their bonds on tonight, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, for those who are going back in the archives, Lord God, whatever their appointed time is to listen to this broadcast, Father, I ask you to do it according to your will, according to your timing, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I ask you to forgive us for all of our sins, our shortcomings, oh God. We thank you that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We thank you and praise you that by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we are now redeemed. Hallelujah. We are now justified, Father God, and I thank you for that. I thank you for our justification. I thank you for our redemption. I thank you and praise you for it on tonight, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just want to bless your name. I want to bless you, Jehovah Jireh. I want to bless you, Jehovah Rapha. I thank you for being my healer. I thank you for being our healer. I thank you for being our deliverer. I thank you for being our strength. I thank you for being our peace. I thank you for being our help in trouble. I thank you, Father God, because you, it is you. Without you, we could do nothing. Hallelujah. And you, God, deserve all the glory. You who created the heavens and the earth, you deserve the glory. You who created the heavens and the earth, you deserve all the glory. Hallelujah. For there is no other God like you. So I bless your name tonight. I praise you. I give you Holy Spirit free reign. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, God. And I just thank you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, y'all want to know what? Y'all want to know what? I haven't yawned all afternoon, and now that I'm on the air, I want to start yawning. And that is so funny, because that's what happens when I read the Bible, I start yawning. When I haven't yawned all day long, I start yawning when I read the Bible. That is so crazy. Patriot Greg, do you have your own Blog Talk Radio broadcast? If you do, can you please post it here? In the chat room, because I like to see it, because I usually save my chat notes so I can go back and revisit what was being said in the chat room, because most of the time I'm not even looking in the chat room when we're on the air. But if you could post your broadcast on there, he said, yawn all I want. Hi, that's funny. I needed that. But if you have a Blog Talk Radio broadcast, can you please let me know and post it on here? Excuse me, so that I can visit your program as well. I'm not sure if I ever tried to look you up. I know someone else was coming on here, and I looked them up, and they do have a broadcast as well. I'm finding out there are several people with Christian broadcasting, and I thank God for that. Not that I don't do spirituality stuff. I say Christianity, but I don't know what I really wanted to say, but there's the two categories that you have. And if you say spirituality, a lot of times people think you're talking about the paranormal and things like that. So for the listeners on the telephone or in the archives, he posted http://www.blogtalkradio.com/Christian Patriot Greg. I mean, blogtalkradio.com/Christian Patriot Greg. He says most of the latest shows are in Spanish, a Christian show that he does with his wife. Okay, and you know, he says, but further back there are over 200 shows in English. Okay, but that's good to know. They have Spanish people to know that you have a broadcast that you know, you speak in Spanish. I love Spanish. I wish I could get someone to just call me every day and teach me Spanish. I love Spanish so much. I just love Spanish. And I ordered Rosetta Stone, and I just can't get it. It just didn't work for me. But I need to know Spanish. And I love that language. I think it's the most beautiful language on earth. Anyway, having said that, we want to go ahead on with the broadcast tonight, that we want to talk about bondage. I don't know, there's all type of bondage. There's mental bondage, spiritual bondage, physical bondage. And I don't know if any of you have ever been bound in the spirit. Let's talk about being bound in the natural first, though, because I was bound in the natural, I was bound in the spirit, and I was bound in my mind as well. So I fit all categories here. So what I like to say is that I've been bound physically. I was bound at one point in my life in a mental facility, and I was bound up by the drugs that they were administering, because when you go into a mental hospital, they give you drugs to keep you in a zombie-like state so that they can control you. However, I had no business being in a mental institute. I was there because I had suffered a very traumatic event in my life, and I was threatening to kill people. So first they arrested me, and then they had me in the jail cell in the padded room. And while I was in that padded room, I was throwing myself up against the wall, trying to further hurt myself. But it didn't dawn on me that they were padded walls, and I wasn't going to be successful in trying to hurt myself. So later that day, they took me to the psychiatric hospital, and immediately when I went in there, they stuck me with a needle, and it was bad. But anyway, the Lord delivered me from that bondage. But don't you know there's a lot of people stuck in those mental hospitals that really shouldn't even be there? They're just there because they don't know how to get out, but God delivered me, and he showed me in the Bible. He said, "Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity." And don't you know those people let me go because I told them I didn't belong there? You can't hold me. I'm a child of God. I do not belong here. The devil's a liar. And this is what we have to do as far as spiritual bondage is concerned, any other kind of bondage. We go through mental bondage, and the greatest mental bondage that I know is holding on to unforgiveness. Holding on to unforgiveness. There's so many people bound up because they will not let go of unforgiveness. They hate people for things that they did in their lives. They hate people for looking at them the wrong way. Well, I can't stand so much. I don't even know why they don't like them. They just won't forgive them. And people are in so much bondage because of that. And again, I can talk about that because I was there myself. I hated my ex-husband. I hated him. And not until if y'all can bear to listen to the truth, if y'all can stand the truth, I'm gonna tell you that not until July of last year did I get delivered from unforgiveness towards my ex-husband. Yes, July of last year is when I got delivered from unforgiveness towards my ex-husband. And I had held on to unforgiveness for years and years and years. I'm wondering why I can't get any spiritual breakthroughs. I'm wondering why I can't go any further than where I was at the time in my walk with the Lord. Why was I stagnant? Why couldn't I go any further than where I was? And it was most of it was hedged on that unforgiveness. And plant a seed, that seed takes root. And it starts growing. If you notice, if you take a plant, a stem off of a plant, put it in water, especially a vine, put it in water and watch the roots begin to grow in that water. I think that's so interesting. The roots will begin to grow, and then you have to put it in a pot. And when you put it in a pot with the soil begins to give it nutrients, and that's how it begins to grow and grow and grow. Well, that's the same thing with sin, okay? Once we open up the door for sin, that thing grows and it grows and it grows. It takes on another root. So it's holding on to unforgiveness. That took on a root of hate. And then it took on another root of bitterness. And it took on another root of envy. It took on another root of revenge. It took on another root of strife. It took on another root of just bitterness. Just, I mean, can you see that picture in your mind? Just see that little plant with all those roots on it, and all of it was based on unforgiveness. So I had all of these things, not just unforgiveness that I had to deal with, but I had to deal with all the rest of that stuff too. And let me tell you, glory, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am so happy. I don't know. Y'all don't have to be happy, but I need to tell you right now that I am so happy because God delivered me. I was in my room minding my business when God delivered me. He set me free. He set me free. He set me free. When I tell you he set me free, he set me free because I wanted to be free. I wanted to be free. And my pastor, Sheila Miller, she had said to me, and I was speaking to her, it was even this year because I hadn't gotten my complete delivery. But she was telling me on this year because I was explaining the situation to her. She said, you know, the way you talk about that situation, I don't think you've forgiven them. Now, God delivered me from unforgiveness for my ex-husband, but this person was someone else. And when I was talking to her about the situation, she said, you need to go back and pray. You need to go back and talk to the person that you're holding this unforgiveness. I was like, go back and talk to the person. They know what they did. They need to come and talk to me. Now, remember, I just told you that God had healed me and delivered me from unforgiveness for my ex-husband. But this was another layer, okay? This was another layer that I had not dealt with. And this layer was dealing with this other person. So I'm like, wow, I really got to deal with this. So I was supposed to have a speaking engagement, and my pastor was, she said, I don't really think that you should do this until you go and handle this situation. So I went, my husband and I went to handle the situation, and when I spoke to the person, I said, you know, I really need to talk to you because I need to forgive you. You did something to me, and I don't even know if you really know what you did. And he looked at me like he didn't know what I was talking about. So for a brief moment, I got angry. I didn't let him know it, but for a brief moment, I got angry. And I'm saying to myself, are you kidding me? You know exactly what you did. So anyway, I had to break it down to him as if, you know, I was talking to somebody that knew nothing about the situation. And I said, you did this, you didn't do that, you led me to believe this, you chose this person and that person, all of this stuff. And I said, he was like, can you please forgive me? It was basically like, all these years, you should have been over that. But we can't tell people that's been holding on to something for so long, oh, you should have been over that, because every person is different, okay? Every person is different, and sometimes we hurt people on levels that really, people say sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. I don't believe that, because that is not true. Names do hurt. Sentences do hurt. Words that people speak over your life do hurt and can bind you up and keep you bound for years and years and years if you're not careful. Words do hurt. Don't let anybody tell you that they don't. You can prevent them from hurting by being in the Spirit of God and letting the Word of God cover your mind, letting the blood of Jesus cover your mind. But words do hurt, okay? A lot of things people do is because of something that was said to them. You know, you always see people doing things because of something somebody physically did to them, but a lot of people do things because of something that was said to them, some evil, something that was spoken over their lives. Maybe it was spoken over their lives as a child. Maybe it was spoken over their lives as an adult or as a teenager. At some point in their life, something was spoken over their lives that caused them to act the way they're acting. Again, I can use myself as an example, because I had some things spoken over me as a child that was detrimental to me. It was detrimental to me. Things like, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're ugly, you'll never be anything, nobody will ever want you. You know, you're too ugly for anybody to want you. You're no good because you're a foster child. Your own mother didn't want you. What makes you think anybody else wants you? You know, those kind of things were spoken over me, and those things helped me to be somebody who I really wasn't. But I was being the things that they spoke over my life. I was weak. I didn't know God. I didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. All I knew was, if these people said these things about me, then it must be true. So I was in bondage for many years because of what people said about me. That's why we have to be very careful about the things that we say to people, because words can cut deep like a knife. Words can cut. Words can cut. As the Bible says, the Word of God is like a two-edged sword. It cuts in and it cuts when it's coming out. It's like a two-edged sword. The words cut. Words hurt. Words can help heal, but words also can hurt. I know there's many people out there that are, you know, hurting because of something somebody said. Husbands saying things to wives that are really out of order, you know, telling their wives that, you know, nobody will want you. You're the, you should be glad. You should be glad. You should be glad that I'm with you, because nobody really wants you. You should be glad that I want you. You're fat and you're ugly. You can't walk right. You can't even have a baby right. I mean, just stupid, stupid, stupid things. And people walk around like that. If you stop and look at some of these talk shows and you see how these people are in bondage, and most of the people in these talk shows are not in Christ Jesus. They don't know anything about Jesus and the Holy Ghost and God the Father. But these people are in such bondage, and some of them is who I was. Some of them is who, that's why I'm very careful about some of the things I say whenever I don't even look at them right now, I can't. But when I used to look at some, certain talk shows and how these people are in bondage, you can even look at Dr. Oz and see how people that are, this is this one lady on there that was trying to be the world's biggest woman. She is in some kind of bondage in her mind that's telling her that that's the greatest thing to do, is to be the world's biggest woman. Not thinking about how it's killing her natural body being overweight like that. How it's putting stress on her heart. How it's putting stress on her, on the rest of the arteries in her body. But all she's thinking about, oh, I'm just going to be famous because I'm going to be the fattest woman in the world. That's bondage. That is bondage. That's bondage to death. Satan has her so bound up that she thinks it's a good thing to be 1,000 pounds. 1,000 pounds. Are you kidding me? You can't do anything for yourself. you're 800 pounds and you have to depend on people to help you do what you do, and you still think it's the greatest thing on earth to be 1,000 pounds, to be the biggest woman on earth. That is bondage. That is bondage, people. That is bondage. And we're talking about somebody out in the world. But we have people in the body of Christ that are in bondage. It could be something similar to that. It could be bound. The Bible says that when we are born again, if you read the book of Romans, it tells us that we are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer to use our bodies, our members, as instruments of unrighteousness. We're supposed to be using our bodies as instruments of righteousness unto God. That means our brain. That means our physical body, what we do. We're supposed to be instruments of righteousness, where we go, who we hang out with. We're supposed to be instruments of righteousness. We're not supposed to be living like the enemy anymore, and we're not supposed to allow the enemy to live within us and continue to control us and continue to manipulate us and continue to overcome us. But so many of us are walking around in bondage and, one, don't know how to get out, two, don't want to get out, three, don't have anybody with enough spiritual sense, okay, or the gifts of the Spirit, or just spiritual knowledge and wisdom to be able to help these people get out of bondage. So Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, Friday after Friday, or Saturday after Saturday, these people are sitting in church and they still bound up. They go home and they get addicted to pills. They go home and they get addicted to alcohol. They go home and smoke weed. They go home and are addicted to, you know, things that are not of God, whatever it is. You know, we want to talk about fornication and adultery, people getting addicted to that. But what about being addicted to spending all of your time doing something that's taking your mind away from your problem, but you're not trying to get rid of the problem? You're just trying to make it a blur. So you sit around all day long and watch TV and eat munchos, or you sit around all day long and play games, or you sit around all day long and you look at Netflix. Okay, whatever the case is, it's taking you away from your problem because you're going somewhere else in your mind. But when you get finished that thing, the problem is still there and you're still in the same bondage. Instead of going to God the Father, okay, God the Father, and asking him in the name of Jesus to deliver you from whatever it is that you're going through. Okay, there's got to be something that you do on your part if you want to be delivered, if you want to be set free. There is something you have to do on your part. Number one, want to be delivered. Or number one, acknowledge that you need to be delivered. Some people don't even acknowledge that they need to be delivered from anything. Some people will stand you down and tell you, I don't need to be delivered because I go to church. Every time the church doors open, I'm there. So they feel like they don't need to be delivered from anything because they're going to an edifice. They're going to a building and they hear the choir sing and they know that the preacher preached but really don't even know what he preached because it hasn't done anything to change them. Or if they did hear it, the cares of the world have come to sift that word out. So it was never able to take root. So the word was sifted out of them, and now they're just as bad as they were. It could even possibly be worse than when they went to church. So the purpose of this program is to speak to people, okay, and to have them understand that if you're bound, you don't have to continue to be bound. I was bound like the lady with the issue in the book of Luke, the lady that was bound for 18 years. I was bound longer than 18 years. My oldest son, Lord willing, will be 29 years old this year. So I was bound for a long time. I had to go back and forgive people that they done went on with their lives. Some of them passed away. The rest of them just gone on with their lives and ain't even thinking about it, Teresa. The things that they've done. My ex-mother-in-law, she would never even think about the things that she's done to me. But I had to forgive that. I had to forgive the person that bit my body up and raped me and destroyed me and did all kinds of things against me and then threatened to kill my children. I had to forgive that person. I had to forgive me. I did things to hurt myself. I did things to really, really hurt myself because I felt like my life was so bad. I was in such bondage in my mind. I felt like there was nothing better to do than to hurt myself. And I know there's a lot of people that feel like that, especially women. Men try to hide their things and hold their things in, but there's men out there with the same kind of issues. Look at the serial killers that are walking around. I know they're not in Christ Jesus, but just look how they're in bondage. Number one, they're slaves to sin anyway. But look how Satan just manipulates them and tells them to do this and tells them to do that, and they think it's okay. But then you got people in the body of Christ who are going around manipulating and lying and stealing and fornicating and homosexuality and, you know, bestiality and all of this stuff going on in the body of Christ. They're still bound up, and they think it's okay because nothing drastic has happened to them. So they think that since something drastic didn't happen to them, that they're okay. But they're in bondage. They're in spiritual bondage. They're in darkness. They think that what they're doing is okay. And that's with any sin that any of us as believers do. The Bible, if you read the Bible, there's a scripture that says none of this stuff should be once named among you as you become saints. Fornication and adultery and lying and stealing and all that stuff, that should not even be named among you as you have become a child of God, as you become saints. None of that stuff should be named amongst you once. There should be no incidents of people saying that you were fornicating. There should be no incident of people saying that you were a thief. There should be no incident of people saying that you were this, that, or third as becoming saints. But what happens is we don't get and study our word. We don't eat the word like it's life. We don't treat the word like it's life. We treat the word as an occasional treat. Or we treat the word as an occasional chastisement. That's how we treat the word of God. But the word of God is life. It's life. To all that would eat it, to all that would have it, the word of God is life. But we have to treat it like it's life, and we don't. That's why so many people walking around in bondage. I love the story of Lazarus. When Lazarus died, Jesus took his time about going to see Lazarus. He said, Lazarus is not dead, he sleeps. But unto his sisters, Mary and Martha, they looked like Lazarus was dead. They had his little burial and everything, anointed his body, put him in a tomb and all of that stuff. So to them, Lazarus was dead. They was like, what? He sleep? Oh, no, he's dead. He's been dead and he stinketh right about now. But Jesus, that was his friend. Jesus did. He wept when Lazarus died. That was his friend. But what he did, he allowed Lazarus to die so that God can get the glory. So he went there. He went to Lazarus' tomb. He stood outside the tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Now, when Lazarus was in that tomb, Lazarus was bound. His body was bound. He was tied up in that tomb. He was bound, wrapped up in that tomb. They wrap your bodies up back then. So he was wrapped up. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus got up and came forth. Now, there's no indication in the Bible that Lazarus said, oh, I can't get up because I'm bound. There's no indication in the Bible where Lazarus said, no, I need you to come and take these grave clothes off of me. Then I'll get up and I'll come forth. There's no indication that Lazarus said anything like that. The Bible clearly says that Lazarus got up and he came forth. That's what he did. He got up. He heard the word of the Lord Jesus. He obeyed the word of the Lord Jesus, not caring about his situation. Because his situation was, okay, I stink. I'm in this grave. And the graves back then are nothing like the graves that we have today. The graves that we have today, you go in 6 feet under. But the graves of back in the day, they were like caves, and you didn't just close the, you know, put the rock over the cave and then, you know, the body is immediately right there in front of the cave. No, the body was further back in the cave. I imagine it would have to be because the body after a while starts stinking. So, you know, they put the body back further in the cave. So when Lazarus came forth, Lazarus, he had to hop his butt out there. He didn't just come strolling off of the table. He had to hop out there because he was bound. But he came out that tomb. He came from death. And he came out that tomb. And then he was loosed. Okay, he was loose from his bondage. He was loose from death. Do you want to be loose from death today? Because the Bible tells us he that has the Son has life. If you turn to 1 John chapter 5, he who has the Son has life. There is no life outside of the Son. You cannot find life in that beer. You can't find life in that liquor. You cannot find life in that television. You can't find life in that woman or that man. You cannot find life if you're laying up in your bed and you just continuously, you know, masturbating and you just continuously doing. There's no life in that. There's no life in that. Satan has you bound up to think that it's okay for you to continue to do that. You know, we make up things and we want God to agree with what we do because we're so bound up in our heads. We think that that stuff is okay, and then we want God to agree with what we're doing. Okay, God, you know I'm having this problem, so I want you to agree with me. Instead of saying, God, I need you to deliver me from this. God, I stand before you, and I want to be delivered. I'm asking you to deliver me, God, and I'm not moving until you deliver me. The angel wrestled with God. He said, I'm going to hang on till you bless me. Well, God, I'm going to stay in your face until you deliver me. I'm going to stay in your face until you loose me from these shackles. I'm going to stay in your face until you deliver my life from destruction. I'm going to stay in your face, God, until you do what I ask you to do. Because what I'm asking you to do is according to your will. Because it's not your will that I perish, God. It's not your will that I perish. Your word says in the book of John that Jesus said he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. I'm not having abundant life if I'm bound up in my mind. I'm not having abundant life if I'm bound up in the spirit. I'm not having abundant life if I'm bound up to things and situations and circumstances. I'm not having abundant life. Now, God, I'm standing right here, and I'm telling you right now, God, I'm sick of me. I need you to help me. Father, I can't be pious right now. I can't say, oh, thou, O greatest one, the heavenliest one. I need thou, great Jehovah. I need thou. I can't be like that right now, Lord. I need you to deliver me. I need you to set me free, God. You said whom the Son set free is free indeed. And I'm asking you for your Son to set me free in the name of Jesus. I need to be set free. And you might have to say it one time. You might have to say it 50 times. You might have to say it 100 times. But if you're serious and you're really, really serious, you begin to talk to God and you begin to get in that word and you begin to quote that word and say what that word says and watch you become free. Watch the chains start falling off. Watch those roots start drying up. Watch some leaves dry up and fall apart because the tree is now dead. Watch you see these things begin to happen. And I know what I'm talking about because I've been there. I've been there and I've done that. I still need God to deliver me from some things because I have not yet arrived. But what I do know is what I do know. And I do know that if you really want to be free, God will free you. Yes, he will. He will free you because it's not God's will that we be in bondage. You can read scriptures after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. Where Jesus went to people and healed them, where the guy that the Gadarene guy, where he was just possessed with all them demons, and Jesus went up to him and spoke to those demons, and they was like, Jesus, why are you here bothering us before our time? The demons knew just who Jesus was. They spoke to him. Why are you trying to bother us before our time? All right, since you got to bother us, cast us over there into those swine. And Jesus cast them out into that swine, and the swine all jumped over the cliff and went into the water. But Jesus went around. He went around healing, laying hands on the sick, speaking to people, telling them, your faith have made you whole. Telling them, according to your faith, let it be so unto you. Telling them, now you're whole. Go and show yourself to the priest. Go and show yourself to the family. Those are the kind of things that Jesus did. But see, you got to actively participate in what you want. Jesus was sent to open the blind eyes. He was sent to bring out the prisoners from the prison and to let them that sit in darkness to bring them out of the prison house. This is Isaiah 42:7. He has anointed us. Jesus has given his authority. So the same thing that he was anointed to do, he has given us to do that. So those of us that have been delivered and set free, those of us that have been broken out of prison because of the blood of Jesus and because of our faith in him, we can go forth and say the same things to other people. We can say, you are loose from your infirmity, not because of me, but because of Jesus. Because he has given us authority over every unclean spirit. So if you're listening right now and you have unclean spirits, or you're bound up and you're still in prison in your mind, in your spirit, I'm saying to you, go forth in the name of Jesus. Come forth. Allow God to heal you. Open up your heart. Open up your spirit. Open up your mind and allow God to come in and heal you. Allow him to come in and deliver you from destruction. He said he would deliver your life from destruction. Psalm 103, he would deliver your life from destruction. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. So that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Come on now. You got to know what the word of God says and begin to walk in it. You got to read the word of God. In 1 John chapter 5 it says, if you're free, you're free. You got life in Jesus Christ. You got life. The life is in him. If you believe in Jesus, then you have life, and you got to begin to tell yourself, you know what, I have life in Jesus. And Jesus was not bound up in his spirit. He was not bound up in his mind. He was in physically, he was in prison because he had to go through all of this stuff. They put him in jail, and they took him to the court, and they did all of that to him. But that was done as the prophecy was being fulfilled. That he would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. He had to go before the judges, and he had to go through all of those people for us to be redeemed, for us to be healed, for us to be delivered, for us to be set free. He had to go through that. But even before he went to the cross, even before Jesus went to the cross and went through all that scourging and went through all of that, Jesus was healing. He spoke the word and healed them. He spoke the word, and most of the time they got healed, he spoke the word to them. According to thy faith, let it be so unto you. According to your faith is what I'm saying to you on tonight. According to your faith, let it be unto you. But we got to tell the truth. A lot of times we won't tell the truth. We won't tell the truth a lot of times because we don't want people to know. And that's another trick of the enemy, that people don't want other people to know what they're going through. So you don't have to go out there and get one of those megaphones that announce to the world, you know, that you're an adulterer or that, you know, you're a liar or whatever the case is. You don't have to go out there with a megaphone and announce to the world that, you know, you got secret things that nobody else knows about. But you can talk to Jesus right now. You can talk to God the Father right now. And in the name of Jesus, ask him to heal you and deliver you. And don't you know he will do it? You can talk to God the Father right now and ask him to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You can talk to God the Father right now and say, God, look, I know you see everything I do. I know you see me when I'm in my bedroom with my door closed. You see what I'm doing. You hear what I'm doing. Father, you know what I'm looking at on television. You know I might not be looking at pornography per se, but you know I'm looking at Jerry Springer, and I'm the pastor of the church, and I'm looking at all of this sex stuff. God, you know what I'm doing. Father, you know, but I'm asking you to heal me and deliver me. And I'm asking you to deliver me because I still got this little piece of me that still want to do wrong. I need you to heal me, Lord God, because I know it's no good thing in my flesh. God, I know that it's something in me, God. It's in me, and I need you to get it out of me, Father, in the name of Jesus, because I can't go past this point until you do it. And there's many people that are preaching, many people and going around evangelizing, many people are going around, you know, ordaining other people and making ministers and pastors and elders and bishops out of other people, but yet they're still bound. When they go home, they're bound up. They're bound up. They're flowing while they're in the spirit, but when they go home, they're bound up. They still bound up. They can't even go past where they're going because they need to be set free. Set free. And people not telling the truth. They're not telling the truth. People walking around not forgiven. Still unforgiven. Still unforgiven. And you say with your mouth that I've forgiven that person, but you know you haven't because of the way you talk about them. Every time you talk about it, you get this crawl underneath your skin. Or you do everything in your power to stay away from that person. Nah, I don't want to be around them. I can't stand them. Whatever. That's a short up sign that you have not forgiven this person. And I'm not saying that if somebody's done something really bad to you that you have to forgive them and be around them. I'm not telling you that. Please let me say this as a disclaimer. I'm not telling you that. What I am telling you is that you still have to forgive. The Bible tells us if we don't forgive, we're not going to be forgiven. Even though Jesus died to take away the sins of the whole world, if we're walking in disobedience, we're just making the forgiveness of Jesus Christ of none effect. The forgiveness of God the Father through Jesus Christ, we're making that of none effect. If we're still walking around in disobedience, see, guess what? We can fool some of the people some of the time, but we can never fool God. It's just a fact. It's just a fact. You don't have to believe me, but I can tell you, I can guarantee you that we can fool some of the people some of the time, but Jesus, but God the Father, but the Holy Ghost, neither one of them are fooled. We can try to clean it up as much as we want to, but they're not fooled. They know every single thing we do. And in the end, we're going to be judged by everything we do. We're going to be judged for everything we've said out of our mouths. We're going to be judged by everything we do in our body, whether it be good or whether it be bad. We're going to get judged for it. I'm not saying that to scare you into salvation or to scare you into accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But what I am saying to you, because I'm supposed to be talking to believers. So if I'm talking to believers, you should have already accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But I'm talking to the body of believers because guess what? The body of believers need to come on because we've fallen short. We need to come on up. We need to repent. We need to do like they used to do back in the old days. Get the altar open and just start praying and stay there until you get a release in your spirit. Stay there until you begin to speak with tongues. Stay there. Until you get anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. Because the Bible says in the book of Acts, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is upon you. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then you shall be witnesses of me. But while so many of us are walking around powerless, we're not hooked in to the power. So many of us are walking around and we've been in our situation for so long. It's become comfortable to us. I know a person right now, I can tell you, I'm not going to say their name, but I know a person that's been in prison for most of their lives and it's comfortable to them. It is comfortable to them. They have been in prison so long, they don't even know how to act. They don't know. Because it's been something that they're used to doing. So every time they come out of prison, they do something so they can go back into prison. Because they're in prison in their head. Oh, I can't live out here. I've been in prison so long, I can't live out here. And that's what some of us say that are supposed to be born again. Oh, I can't live unless I do this. I can't live without this. I can't stop this. I can't stop drinking. I can't stop smoking. I can't stop lying and stealing. I can't stop dibbling, dabbling in witchcraft. I can't stop being effeminate. I can't stop doing all of this other stuff the Bible says we're not supposed to do. I can't stop doing that. I've been doing it so long, but God knows my heart. God knows my heart. I'm so sick of hearing people telling me that God knows their heart, and you're right, because he does know your heart. He knows the heart is sick and desperately wicked. He knows that. He knows the heart is sick and desperately wicked. But David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. And I have my hands raised right now. And I'm saying the same thing. Create in me, oh God, a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart. Cleanse me from everything that is not of you, God. In the name of Jesus, God, I give you full reign. You take reign, Holy Spirit. You come in and you show me. You show me the error of my ways. Some things I know, some things I don't. But show me and help me. Holy Spirit, you're supposed to be my helper. I need you to help me. In the name of Jesus, I need you to help me. In the name of Jesus. And some of us who are listening to this broadcast, whether you're listening on a phone line, whether you're listening in the chat room, whether you're listening in the archives, you need to throw your hands up in the air and really be sincere. Not just say something because you hear the woman say it, but say it because you're sincere and you want God to change you. You want God to set you free. You want to be delivered. You're tired of being in bondage. You want to come out. You want to be made whole. See, but you got to do something. You raise your hands as an act of faith. I remember one time the televangelists would tell you to come to touch the television as an act of faith, that whatever they were praying and agreeing with you, that you come touch the television as an act of faith. Well, I'm not telling you to touch the television. I'm not telling you to touch your telephone. I'm not telling you to touch the computer screen if you're on the computer in the chat room. All I'm asking you to do is raise your hand. All I'm asking you to do is be true to yourself, because God already knows what's going on. And you ask God right where you are to first forgive you of your sins. Ask God to forgive you for stubbornness and rebellion. Ask God to forgive you for unforgiveness, and then forgive the persons that you are holding unforgiveness towards. Ask God to forgive you, and he will begin to cleanse you. He will begin to wash you. Like my husband says all the time, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. My daughter, she has done some things that, you know, just irked my absolute nerve, even up to this day. And I have to say, God, please forgive me for the way I feel towards this child. I want to take the belt to her and just beat her. I just want to shake her until she comes to her senses. And sometimes the things that she do just make me say, God, I don't want to have nothing to do with this girl. I don't want to see her. I don't want her in my sight. But that is the wrong attitude. That is the wrong attitude. And I'm saying this because this is what we do as people. I have not arrived, but I'm saying this is what we do. And we have to forgive, just like God the Father forgives us every day when we repent. Every day. Because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But I thank God today for his grace and his mercy. I thank God today that he is a forgiving God. I thank God today that he is a compassionate God. I thank God today that he doesn't give me what I deserve. Hallelujah. I thank God that he's given us yet another chance to repent of our sins. I thank God that he's given us yet another chance to come before him, to come to him and say, God, I need you. He's given us another chance, no matter what it is. He's given us another chance to get it right. While you're looking at me and my sin, God is saying you need to get you right. You're looking at me and saying, well, you know, she this and she. Get you right. And the same thing with me. I'm not looking at you. I don't have time to look at you and your sin. But see, God sees everything. God sees everything. And I know, just as sure as my name is Teresa, God sees and hears everything. He knows our thoughts. David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And that's what I say tonight with my hands raised. Let the words of my mouth. Because the one thing I know that gets me in trouble more than anything is my mouth. Because I get upset with my family members. Still. Because sometimes they drive me crazy. But the point of the matter is, do I want to be right with God? And the same thing with you and you and you and you and you and you. Do you want to be right with God? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to continue going through life crippled? Do you want to continue to go through life bound up? Every time you turn around, you bound up again. Every time you turn around, you depressed. Every time you turn around, you just don't know what to do. You're in a doctor's office. You're getting pills for this. You're getting pills for that. At the psychiatrist, because you just can't deal with life. So you're taking pills so you don't have to be awake for 22 hours of the day. That's not life. That's not life. The Bible said he who has the Son has life. He who has the Son has life. He who has the Son has life. If you are born again and you're listening to this broadcast and you're depressed and you're angry and you're anxious and you're bitter and you just don't know what to do, find life. Attach yourself to the life. Attach yourself to the vine. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Attach yourself to the vine. You find yourself depressed, attach yourself to the vine. You find yourself masturbating, attach yourself to the vine. You find yourself doing anything outside of the will of God, attach yourself to the vine. Something happened at work today, I'm trying to tell you. Hear what I'm saying. Something happened at work today. And I tell you, I got sad. The spirit of depression came just that fast. And I had to throw my hands up in the air and I had to begin to praise God right in my booth. I had to just begin to throw my hands in the air and say, Lord, I just thank you. I didn't even ask him to fix it. I said, Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I just thank you. And I tell you, before I know it, that thing was lifted. I was sad. I was discouraged. But something that happened, there's something someone said to me yesterday. And I'm telling you, going back to those words, but it was something that I was expecting and it just didn't happen. And I got sad and I felt like I disappointed God. I felt like I just upset my daddy, my father, my heavenly father. I felt like I hurt him. I felt like I let him down. But see, God didn't give me that condemnation. I gave that to myself. And we do that a lot. God doesn't condemn us. For God so loved the world, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And verse 17 says, for God came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that hath the Son hath life. Can you hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you? Stop condemning yourself. Stop beating yourself up. That stuff is not from God. Stop it. And move on from this moment. Move on. Say, God, I'm sorry. I confess my sins. And not just only do I confess my sin, but I repent of my sins, which means I turn away from my sin. I turn away from this sin. I'm turning my back on it, and I'm not doing it again. But I need you, Holy Spirit, to help me. I need you to help me. God, show me your word. Order my steps in your word. Help me. When you feel yourself falling short, help me, Father God. Send your Holy Spirit. I need your helper. You said the Holy Spirit is my helper. I need you, Holy Spirit, to help me. Help me. I got infirmity going on over here. I don't know what to do. I need you to help me. For the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. And he helps us to pray because we don't even know what to pray for as we ought to pray. We begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And allow the Holy Ghost to begin to pray. He will pray the express will of God. He will pray the will of God. There will be none of us in it. He will pray the will of God. And we will begin to see things change. You say, well, tongues. I hear people speaking that. I don't know what that's like. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. If you want the Holy Spirit, ask. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit as your helper, as your comforter, as your guide. You need the Holy Spirit to guide you, to lead. We need the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the disciples to go, tarry in the upper room and wait there until you be endued with power. Wait there for the promise. Wait there for the Holy Ghost so that you can be endued with power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall receive power. I need that power. Jesus has given us authority. He said, I give you, behold, I give unto you power. I give you my power because I'm going back to heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. I give you power to lay hands on the sick so they might recover. I give you power that if you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. I give you power to cast out devils in my name. In the name of Yahshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus, I give you my power so that you can be witnesses of me, so that God in heaven can get the glory. He didn't give us that power for us. He gave us the power so we could be witnesses of him, so that we can lay hands on the sick and they recover, and then God can get the glory. Not for us to get the glory. This broadcast is not for Teresa to get the glory. This broadcast is for people to get saved. This broadcast is for people to get delivered from their sin, to get delivered from bondage. As believers, we're not supposed to be in bondage. We're not supposed to stay in bondage. We're not supposed to be comfortable in bondage. If you're comfortable in bondage, something is wrong. If you're comfortable with staying bound in your sin, something is wrong. If you're not born again, I ask you tonight or whenever you listen to this message in the archive, I ask you in the name of Jesus that you will just begin to pray and ask God. Say, God, I'm a sinner. I need you. I want Jesus in my life. I keep hearing people talking about Jesus. I want Jesus in my life. I want this Yahshua HaMashiach. I want this Yahshua in my life. And I want him because you love me so much, God. You love me so much that you sent Yahshua HaMashiach to die for me, to redeem me back to you. I want him because you love me. And God, I love you. Now I need you to just help me because I need to accept Jesus Christ. Now I accept you, Yahshua. I accept you, Yahshua. I accept you, Yahshua, as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for putting me back in right place with fellowship with God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I have to read the scripture. I have to read the scripture in 1 John. I have to read the scripture. 1 John. If you have your Bibles or if you have your computer, however you get a hold to the word. If you have your Bible, turn to John, the 1 John. Chapter 5, and let us read starting in verse 11. It says, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. If you have a pencil, a pen, a highlighter, please mark this verse. It says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life, eternal life, is in his Son. Who is his Son? Yahshua, Jesus, as we in the English language call him. But his mother didn't call him Jesus, she called him Yahshua. Okay? He that hath the Son the Son of God, Yeshua Jesus. He that hath the Son hath life. There is no life in bondage. There is no life in bondage. There is no life in bondage. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's no life in bondage. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That was verse 12. Verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, which is Yeshua, Jesus, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Do y'all keep hearing about this name of the Son of God, the Son of God? This Son, you got to believe in this Son. That's where the life is, in this Son. 13, I'm going to read again. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, Yeshua, Jesus. Verse 20 of the same chapter says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. This is the true God and eternal life. And then the following verse says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Some of us, we are our own idol. Some of us, our bondage is our idol because we worship our bondage. Why would you say something like that, Teresa? Because we worship our bondage because we're continuously in it. We're staying in it. We go to the altar every week for the same thing. We give the televangelist our money, hoping that we're going to get a miracle. You done paid $1,000, can't pay your rent, can't pay your light bill, can't buy food, but you sent the televangelist $1,000 and your situation has not even changed. So now you've lost faith in God. You've gone to the altar 10 times and things have not changed. So now you've lost faith in God. You've read the passages that someone told you to read, and things have not changed, so you've lost faith in God. You've turned your back on God, and you're saying, you know what, I don't need this, I don't want this. You've turned your back on God. But God is saying, you can be free tonight. See, God has had people turn their back on him for many a year. For many a year, God has had people turn their back on him. For many, many, many years. So he does understand people will turn their backs on him. But I'm here to let you know that you can be free tonight. And if you're not free, stop blaming God. Stop blaming God. Stop blaming Jesus. Stop blaming the pastor. Stop blaming everybody but yourself. And stop blaming yourself. Now come to Jesus. Come to this life that he's offering you freely. Everybody that drinks from this fountain shall never thirst. Everybody that eats from him shall never be hungry because he is the bread of life. And he's offering you life tonight. He's offering me life tonight. Somebody was saying on Sunday at church that we need a refreshing. All of us need a refreshing. I don't care how many years you've been preaching. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care if you just got born again 5 seconds ago. We need a refreshing. We need a daily refreshing. We need to be refreshed in the Holy Ghost. We need a fresh anointing. We need God to just come in and wash us and cleanse us and make us whole. We just need to go back to the cross, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer. Nearer, nearer, precious Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there at the cross. It was there by faith that I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. These are the old songs that we used to sing. These are the songs that we used to sing that used to keep us. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart, they rolled away. It was there at the feet of Jesus. It was there by faith that I received my sight. And now I'm happy all today. But guess what? You say, well, why did they say it was there by faith I received my sight? Because if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, therefore, I'm starting at verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, when people are spiritually blind, they're blinded by the God of this world. The God of this world don't want us to be free. The God of this world doesn't want the blinders to fall off. He wants us to stay blind. There are people walking around reprobate, turned over to their own foolishness, rejected by God because they just refuse to believe the word of God. They've taken the word of God and turned it into what they want it to be so that whatever they want to do is right. And it's only right to them. It's not right to God. Because no matter how much we try to change the word of God is not going to change for us on no day of the week. No minute of any day of the week is the word of God going to change for us. But we're supposed to change because of the word of God. We can see people who are not changing because they're not in the word. They're not praying. They're not seeking God. And then there are some people who are praying and seeking God, but then their faith wanes. Something else will come up and they'll get disturbed and won't trust God. Something else will come up and they'll just get disturbed and they won't trust God. Something else will come up and they'll be like, this problem is too big for you, God. Something else will come up. And the same God that walked you through the Red Sea on dry land, soon as you got over on dry land, you decided that God, he wasn't the same anymore. You brought me over here, God. Now you want me to starve. You should have just left me in bondage. We want to go back to Egypt because at least we had 3 hots and a cot. Yeah, they beat us. Yeah, they treated us bad. Yeah, they made us make our own brick out of straw and mud. Yeah, they made us do all of that, but at least we had 3 hots and a cot. Back in bondage because it was comfortable. Back in bondage because it was a sure thing. And a lot of us are stuck in bondage because we're comfortable in it. This person I was talking about before is in a literal, real prison. And every time they come out, they go back in. We look around for them. We ain't seen them in a month or so. We say, oh, they done went back home. Because they're in bondage in their mind and ain't been set free yet. You don't have to go another further, as the older folks used to say. You don't have to go another further. You don't have to make another step. You don't have to stay in bondage this night. Or whenever you're listening to this in the archives, you do not. You do not. I repeat, you do not have to go in bondage. You do not have to stay in bondage. Whatever your bondage is, begin to talk to God right now. Begin to tell him right now, God, this is my bondage, and I want to be set free. I want life. I want life. I want life because life is in the Son. Life is in you. I need my life. I need my life. The lady named Janita Pugh, she says, I can't live without you. I can't breathe without you. I can't go on without you in my life. I can't go on, Jesus. This is what she said in this song. And we need him. We need him tonight. We need the power of Jesus in our lives tonight. Because guess what? We can't do this. The Bible says, mortify the deeds of your flesh by the Spirit. Mortify the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit. Mortify your deeds of the flesh by the Spirit. Put off the former things. Put off your old man. Put off the old conversation. Put it all off. Put off anger and wrath, malice, evil speaking. Put blasphemy out of your mouth. Put all that stuff off. Take those old clothes off. Take those grave clothes off. Take that old stuff off. Why? Because there's no life in that. There's only life in the Son. There's only life in Yahshua. There's only life in Jesus. There's only life in him. There's only life in him. And exposing demons said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. And we know this to be true. We know this to be true. People are taking on the doctrine of the devil. Anytime anything that you call evil good is a doctrine of the devil. Anytime you call something evil good is a doctrine of the devil. The Bible says, woe to them that call good evil and evil good. Woe to them. You don't want to hear God say woe to you. I know I don't want to hear him say woe to me. But I tell you this. If I could tell you nothing else. You don't have to give heed to seducing spirits. You don't have to. But if you look around you, all you see is people giving heed to seducing spirits. The church, look around. Sometimes you go to church and you can't tell where you are. Are you in a club or are you in a church? Are you in a morgue or are you in a church? Jesus said, I came that I might have, that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Do you want to be free today? Today is May the 23rd, 2012. Amazing. 1 year ago, we were told that Jesus was coming back. I'm not making fun of the person that said that because they really believed it. But how about if he did come back? What if he had come back then? What if he comes back while I'm speaking? What if he comes back while you're listening? What if he comes back? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Preacher that's preaching the word of God and you're going home and you got a whole secret life, what are you going to do? Do you want to be free tonight? Do you want to be free tonight? Wife who has a husband and children at home, you're sneaking out pretending you're going somewhere else, going out with your girlfriend, but you really out with your man. Do you want to be free tonight? Not your man, your husband, but somebody else's man. Do you want to be free tonight? Do you want to be free tonight? Evangelist, you running around preaching, trying to save the world, and you're still in bondage. Do you want to be free tonight? Do you want to be free tonight? God sees. He knows. He knows those dreams that you're having. He knows those evil things that you're saying behind closed doors. Deacon. You know you the deacon. You the deacon. You know everybody know you. But when you leave, you go home to your menagerie of mind-altering substances. Whatever they may be. Do you want to be free tonight? Do you want to be free? All you have to do is say you want to be free. Repent. John baptized unto repentance. Went down in the water, some of us. Went down a dry devil, came back a sucking wet one. Baptism is supposed to be an outward show of an inward choice that we made to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. So many of us have said those words that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and live like the devil. Reputation, my husband says, is who people think you are. That's what people say about you. That's who they think you are. But character is who you really is. Behind closed door, who you really are. Behind closed doors, in public, you're going to be that way all the time. That's what your character is. Are we exhibiting the character of God? Are we exhibiting the character of God? Behind closed doors, outside of the closed doors. You know, in a grocery store, when a clerk makes a mistake with your money, do you curse her out, preacher? When your child goes in your purse and steals your money, do you curse them out or beat them down so bad with words they're just torn up? Somebody look at you the wrong way. I don't like them because they looked at me the wrong way or they didn't speak to me. Come on, people. Come out of bondage. Come out of bondage. Whatever you're a slave to, that's your master. If you're a slave to fornication, that's your master. If you're a slave to lying and stealing and witchcraft and being effeminate and emulations and seditions and heresies, if you're a slave to that stuff, that's your master. And if sin is your master, Jesus cannot be your Lord. Somebody lying. Jesus cannot be Lord if sin is your master. If sin is your master, Jesus is not your Lord. But if you want to change it, you have the opportunity to change it right where you are. If you want to stop being a slave to sin, if you want to stop being a slave to sin, I'm talking to you, believer, the one who said Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, but still is a slave to sin. You can be free tonight. You can be free right now. Right where you are. Right this second. Right now you can be free. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And if you would believe God tonight, if you will believe God at this, whenever you're listening to this broadcast, if you will believe God, He will set you free. It's not His will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. Not one time did you hear me say, come to Jesus so you don't go to hell. See, because I think that's a wrong doctrine that people are preaching, come to Jesus so you don't go to hell. No, come to Jesus because you love God. Come to Jesus because you appreciate His sacrifice on the cross for you. Come to Jesus because you understand that His death, burial, and resurrection was because God the Father loved you so much. You want to just return that love to Him. Not because you want to escape the flames of hell or the lake of fire. You don't want to, just because you want to escape the flames of the lake of fire. Come on now, we're not really fooling anybody but ourselves, and we think we're accepting Jesus Christ just so we can escape the flames of the lake of fire. That's escapism salvation that people are going around preaching. Get saved so you don't go to hell. Well, one of the benefits of salvation is that you don't go to the lake of fire. That is one of the benefits of salvation. He delivered you from destruction. That's one of the benefits of being born again. But come on, people. God loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. That whosoever believeth on him, his son, Yahshua, Jesus, whoever believeth on him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And everlasting life is in the Son. We read that in 1 John. It's in the Son. Life is in the Son. Now, if you want to step up to the plate and you want life, talk to the Father. Talk to the Heavenly Father. Tell him, I repent. I've been holding on to this bondage, and God has felt good for so long, and I'm scared to let it go because I've held on to it for so long. I'm scared to let it go. I don't know who I'm going to be. I don't know what I'm going to be like when I let it go, but I'm tired of it right now, God, and I really need to be delivered, and I really want to be delivered. Please deliver me, Father God. Please. In Jesus' name. I accept Jesus. I accept Yahshua as my Savior. I accept what he did on the cross for me. I accept that Jesus died and he rose again on the third day. I accept the fact that he's sitting on the right hand of the Father right now interceding for me. I accept that. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You decide what you want to do. Okay? God is love. Yes, he is. God is love, and he wants you to be delivered on tonight. Like that woman in Luke chapter 13. She went to the temple, and she was bowed over. She had been with that infirmity for 18 years. Jesus looked at her because she showed up. She showed up at the temple. She went to Jesus. She met him. She didn't say, here I is. He saw her. And you can do the same thing. Let him see you right now. Raise your hand. And you can say, here I am. He already see you. He already see you. And let him begin to heal you. Let him begin to heal you. Forgive that person. Forgive those people. Forgive yourself. If it's your mama, forgive your mama, your daddy, your uncle, your auntie, your children, your boss, your neighbor, your friend, the person that raped you, the person that killed your family member, the person that stole your job, that stole your position on your job, the person that's going around trying to stab you in the back at every chance they get, forgive them. And allow God to heal you. Allow God to heal you. If you enjoyed this broadcast, we ask that you tune in next time. We're going to be talking about the same thing. You're more than welcome to call the number. Area code 323-693-3054. If you'd like to be on the air on our next broadcast, because we're going to be talking about the same thing. I thank everyone for joining us on tonight. I thank my husband, Bishop Gerald Scott. I thank Patriot Greg. I thank guest number 6591 and Exposing Demons. I thank you too. God bless you all. Have a wonderful night. Have a wonderful night and shalom. Shalom. God bless you all. Good night.